inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rain.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, we focus on protection from pests, including some certain pest mitigation measures. And with us on the line is Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Matt.
What kind of pest are we talking about this week?
Well, we have the giant spiny tree rats, which are emerge from the forest or from their rocky lairs or from underneath people's houses and garden sheds and other things, and come out to attack strawberries, raspberries, cherry trees, apple trees, birch trees, katsura trees, and others, also known as porcupines. In fact, you see a number of them along the highway yesterday. I've met their end, too. So, and I have one that is going to need to be removed since I talked to you earlier.
Oh, okay. Well, before we get to that, what can we do to kind of keep porcupines away from all of our trees and berry bushes?
It's going to be fencing of some sort. So, like for trees, a lot of folks will use stovepipe or wide metal flashing. You roll it around the tree, and you need to bring it up to, boy, almost 4 feet tall, because there's big porcupines out there that will literally grab a hold of the top edge and pull themselves up. I mean, they'll chin themselves on this stuff and get up into the trees. And cherries and the birch trees are favorites. So you can wrap this around and then screw it to itself, the sheet metal, that is. And netting for around patches of strawberries and raspberries and blackberries, since I've got some of those too, gill net and seine webbing works great. You want a lightweight fencing that is loosely hung from posts around your patch of protected plants that they can't climb. They may push into it. I've actually had them do that too. They'll push into it and try to chew through the stuff to get at leaves of these. They aren't eating the berries. I've had them eat the strawberry leaves off, and you can see there's strawberries still there. They don't eat the berries, although they do like apples in the trees a little later on in the season.
Okay, so
and also lightweight chicken wire. Again, loosely attached to posts, and then if you bend the top of it, like the top foot or so, outwards and down, again, you're trying to make it difficult for them to climb, because it's loose, it's wobbly, and if it's bent out also on the top, then they can't climb up and over.
And if it's taut and firm, then the animal can get a claw hold and climb up over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, chain link fence or tightly strung mesh fence, they can climb this stuff. I mean, I've watched them walk the top pipe on a chain link fence like tightrope walkers. They have good claws. I mean, obviously for climbing trees, which is their normal habitat. If they stayed in the forest trees, the spruces and hemlocks, they'd be fine. But we are planting stuff that is probably tastier than spruce and hemlock trees.
And what happens if you catch a porcupine in the act?
Well, then I tend to remove them with prejudice. I have recently, when my grandsons were visiting me, we did just that in one of my cherry trees. And this is the most educational porcupine ever. We harvested it, and I dissected it. The kids got to see the internal organs. We pulled quills from it that they took back for show and tell back to California. I pulled hairs to make paintbrushes with it. And then I took the quarters and took them off, cleaned them up, and marinated them in raspberry wheat beer, and then slow cooked it. And truly, it was the tastiest porcupine I've had in a very long time. Although I've marinated the meat and put them on skewers and, you know, mystery meat on the grill, and that usually disappears pretty well too.
And how long did you cook it? What, like an hour or 2:25?
Well, I mean, the on a grill, once it's marinated, it's, you know, 10 minutes or so. I mean, you do want to cook it thoroughly. The other one, the most recent one, that one was cooked in some tasty juices with garlic, of course, and onions, and that was cooked for about 8 or 9 hours.
Oh.
Really great stuff.
Tastes just like chicken, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that, but a couple of my grandsons asked for seconds, and even my daughter-in-law had some and didn't turn up her nose at it. So it was a great success.
Okay, we only have a few moments left, but do we want to hit a couple items quickly here? Cherries, we should start picking them.
Yes, cherries. Our weather's supposed to change on Friday, they say. So we want to pick cherries before it rains, because otherwise they will crack and rot. And that happened last year. Like, we picked a bunch before, and then those that are left didn't survive for very long. Events coming. This Saturday is the second Saturday market at the Airport Mall. Lots of fresh produce will be available there. Next Saturday, folks should plan for the harvest fair at the community garden and start looking at their best produce and flowers and other stuff to enter at the fair for fame and, I can't say fortune, but at least for fame, anyway, and ribbons. And then the following weekend after that, last weekend of August, is the food festival down at the Jack. And we'll talk a little more about that, too. But anyway, opportunities to buy fresh produce, fresh locally grown produce.
Okay.
Folks should visit.
All right, Ed Byarski, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Matt.
Ed Byarski, Master Gardener, with this week's edition of Garden Talk, a weekly feature here on KTOO during Thursdays during the spring, summer, and early fall.
Plant your rows straight and long, temper them with prayer and song. Mother Earth will make you strong if you give her love.